Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
And websites, which we often do in the illustrious company of Aidan Donnelly from Davies. Welcome back, Aidan.
Thank you very much, Joe. Yes, been a few weeks off, so yes. Rested and relaxed and ready for action now.
Yes, I can already see you now, Ray Winston, on the beach, lounging on that chair with just you and your Speedos. Anyway,
it's not an image for people there this hour of the morning.
It's going to upset people's breakfasts. Can we start with Barry O'Halloran in the Irish Times, a story about aircraft leasing companies?
Yeah, this is a very long-running saga, unfortunately, and I don't think even with the court case today that we're going to see any sort of a conclusion to it. And basically, it's around a lot of the Irish-based aircraft leasing companies are trying to sue insurers to get back payments that they lost because of planes that have basically the leases that they had out with Russian airlines when the Ukrainian war started. The leases had to be cancelled. They didn't get the planes back. And now they're looking for insurance coverage against that. The insurance industry have all along said, well, we're not paying you for a plane that hasn't been destroyed. We can see where it is. So therefore, it's actually not destroyed. Today's case is really around where the ultimate case is going to be heard. The insurance companies say, listen, when you entered into the agreement, it was under Russian law, therefore you have to bring the case to Russia.
Good luck
with that. The
lessors
are saying we're not going anywhere near Russia. The reinsurance is done through London, therefore the case should be heard in London. So it's a bit of a technical case today, but it'll ultimately decide where the case is going to be heard. But it'll going to be at least the end of the year, I would imagine, if not early 2024, before the actual case gets to any court, never mind a decision being made on it.
Yeah, and we're talking about billions of euros in value here. These planes are huge. They're hundreds of millions of euros each plane. And the chances of them winning a case in Russia is about 0%, roughly. Donal O'Donovan in the Irish Independent has a story about the value of Irish banks.
Yeah, this is on the back of a Bank of America note that on the two Irish banks, there's not a lot really in the note. They have upgraded their earnings forecast, and they're basically, they have, like many of the international banks, have nice eye-watering price targets on the two bank stocks. I suppose in the background, the cynical say, well, they just want to get involved in the sale of the shares that the government have left in AIB and PTSB, and certainly that can't be denied. But look, ultimately, what they're looking at is they're saying that the banks continue to make profits. They haven't seen the squeeze on deposits that other European banks have. Therefore, you know, they're going to continue to generate decent capital. This will allow them to return some of that capital to shareholders.
Yeah, and Irish taxpayers will benefit, of course, as well by selling these shares at much higher prices than they were 18 months ago.
Or further back, yeah, when the money was originally put in. Absolutely.
Yeah. Caught Caden in the Irish Examiner, a story about some of my favourite produce in the world.
Yes, beer production. You see, you're not doing the right thing, because unfortunately, although beer production and exports in Ireland have increased following the pandemic, consumption is actually still below 2019 levels. Now, we're not going to park it all at your door. I think there's
there's
demographic issues, I think, going on here. But also, I think there has definitely been a drop in the consumption of alcohol across the board in Ireland as people look to try to reduce their alcohol. And also, you know, we've obviously seen an increased prevalence of zero alcohol beer. It was up actually 25% last year. We're seeing
off a low base,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But you know, when you look to the European context, you know, in likes of Spain and Germany, zero alcohol drinks have a market share of over 10%, so it can actually build up nicely. But I think the other thing that's, as I said, is a big issue is demographics, and unfortunately Gen Z are not very big beer drinkers. They tend to be much more spirits drinkers and mixed spirit drinkers. So there is a bit of a fight for market share there in those younger age categories.
Yeah, it's definitely noticeable that younger people are far more interested in kind of the health of themselves and around them than the previous generation. Like the rush to drink alcohol when you're a young person, maybe 20 or 30 years ago, seems to have dissipated, that people are going to the gym a lot more. They're watching what they're eating and they're simply not boozing as much.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. And the type of booze that they're drinking is very much different too, because, you know, a lot of them will be you know, body conscious, etc. And beer tends to be more fattening than spirits. So that's what's happening there.
To the markets, there was a pretty big sell-off on European stock markets yesterday.
Yeah, and look, I suppose that there's two things going on. One, you've just got to remember we're now in July. We've had the 4th of July holiday this week. So markets, there's not a lot of bodies necessarily around, and that plays into it. But I think the other thing that is important is we've seen a fairly substantial move higher in bond yields right across Europe and the US over the last couple of months. And really, the bond market is now catching up with the idea that interest rates aren't going lower because, you know, as we came into this year, and I've been writing a lot about this over the last couple of weeks and months in my weeklies, that you know, we've seen the risk or the fear of a recession being pushed out through most of this year so far, and also the degree of any sort of a recession has also been reduced. So that's basically allowing the central banks still focus on inflation, which means, you know, if you looked at the start of the year, most people were expecting interest rate cuts by the end of this year. Now we're looking at probably another 25, if not 50 basis points increase in the US, probably something similar in Europe and the UK, definitely, you know, they would have surprised the market last month when they went with 50 basis points. So we're definitely seeing the risk of recession move out. We're seeing interest rates move higher. And also, I think on the equity market perspective, it's been what we call a very narrow market, particularly in the US in the first half. Like, you know, the lion's share, if not nearly all of the gains on the S&P 500 was driven by, you know, half a dozen stocks. And that's not a particularly healthy market. So as we start to see some of these bond yields move higher, and more importantly, real yields move higher, it is going to have an impact on particularly the growthier element of the stock market. And we're kind of seeing that come through in the last couple of days. But again, as I said, volumes are not particularly high because we've entered into the summer doldrums for the next 2 months.
So remind us about the relationship between the bond market and equities market, because there's two very different markets. But they do take cues from each other.
Absolutely. I think within bond markets are really a good guide to obviously what's happening in interest rates, but also what's happening to the economy. And for the equity market, the lead that they take through is really that, you know, the bond yields operate as a kind of a discount factor for future cash flows coming from the equity market. So as bond yields go higher, it is more of a kind of a headwind for growth orientated stocks, because ultimately, you know, a lot of their cash flows are out into the future, and so when you're discounting at a higher rate, you see their values coming down. But the other thing it does is, you know, if bond yields are moving higher for the right reason, it means that the economies are doing okay, and cyclical stocks tend to do much better, because obviously
give
the
us
economies
an example. Give us an example of a cyclical stock.
So things like industrial companies or materials companies, commodity companies, things like that, and even consumer discretionary, so retail, consumer products, those types of things. So they tend to be, as the economy does well, people buy more of them. That's the classic example of a cyclical stock.
Aidan, thank you so much. Have a lovely weekend. Good to have you back. Aidan Donnelly there from Davies.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.